Europe is headed for more recession.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And for the first time in history, the 17 nations that use the euro currency are headed for 2 years of back-to-back recession. That's the word from the European Commission this morning, which says the region's economy will shrink more than first thought this year. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from London with the details. And Stephen, we're used to bad news out of Europe, but how bad is this?
Well, it is bad. The region's economy as a whole is now forecast to shrink by 0.4% this year. And the most worrying feature of this forecast is the further decline anticipated in the bloc's second biggest economy, France. The French finance minister told you on this programme 2 weeks ago, Jeremy, that he expected the French economy to be back in positive territory by the end of the year. It won't, according to this latest forecast. It will end the year in recession like seven other Eurozone countries.
So the European Central Bank said yesterday, Stephen, and we reported that it's going to cut interest rates to spur growth. What else can be done at this point?
Well, some Europeans are clamoring for the ECB to follow the example of the Fed and the Bank of Japan and print money with a bond-buying spree. But there's a problem with that. The one thing that has kept the lid on the Eurozone debt crisis has been the ECB's so-called big bazooka, the threat of buying billions of euros worth of government bonds to keep borrowing costs under control. That threat is like a nuclear deterrent. It works best if you don't actually use it. If the ECB starts a bond-buying blitz, it may be throwing away one of its most powerful weapons.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, coming up, we'll look to the future as I wrap up my time here at Marketplace. But first, let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading this morning, up a 0.1% in Hong Kong. It is 0.25% higher right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 130 points to close at 14,831.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Well, as I wrap up my time as host of Marketplace Morning Report, we're going to look to the future. And to do that, we're going to take a little field trip to Columbia High School in Maplewood, New Jersey. We want to find out exactly what the kids are doing these days, specifically how they're interacting with technology and what kinds of devices they're using.
Oh, I have everything. I have a laptop, I have iPhone, iPad.
I'm actually brand new to the iPhone. I got it about 2 months ago, and it's actually perfect. I mean, I have it on me all the time, especially during school.
When did you get your first phone?
I was a late bloomer. I'd probably say eighth grade, maybe.
Yeah, I also have a laptop and an iPhone, and my iPhone's always with me. Like, so I'll, like, throughout the day, I'll start patting my pockets, kind of freaking out, wondering where it is. So it's like a necessity.
I have an iPhone also. I just got it recently for a birthday gift, and now I, like, love my iPhone. It's everywhere. I sleep with it. It's pretty bad, like, but I love it.
I have a BlackBerry.
Oh,
I'm, like,
the
one
only
of the
BlackBerry
few people
in the
that still have one. And I do also have an iPod Touch and an iPad and a MacBook. So I'm also really up with all the technology.
And when did you get your first phone?
Sixth grade.
So one of the things that's interesting here is that you all have Apple products. I mean, you've got a BlackBerry, but you do
but
also
have an Apple product.
Apple products.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have Apple products because they're user-friendly. But I think PCs, there's a lot of, and Windows in particular, there's a lot of backlash against it because of our experience using it in school. All the computers here run Windows, and it's slow.
Hmm. It seems really institutional. It's something, it's not fun, it's
absolutely
work. The devices these students use for fun are on all the time. Yes, there are rules. They're not allowed to use them in class, but those rules are hard to enforce, and they're changing quickly as more and more schoolwork gets done electronically. So, I wondered, do these students who are constantly connected worry about their privacy?
Believe it or not, I've never had a Facebook for that exact reason, because if I couldn't control myself to do something, you know, something you may think is funny but might come back to haunt you in the future, you don't want it to be on the internet, and once it's on the internet, it's up there forever.
I really don't even use Facebook for posting things about me. I never really present anything about myself because I'm afraid that a future employer or something like that it'll be trouble.
Are you connected to your parents on Facebook?
No, because even though I'm not doing something stupid on Facebook, it's not hard for someone else to do something bad and maybe tag me in it or show that I have some kind of involvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my accounts are private, but I never go on Facebook anymore. It's kind of for a project, if you're working on a project with someone or whatever, but otherwise I never really use it.
Some words Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg probably wouldn't love to hear. That was Anna Lascari, as well as Basil Bryant, Brianna Horde, Max Gould, Timothy Gray, and Ellie Williams, students at Columbia High School in Maplewood, New Jersey, and you can find our full conversation at marketplace.org. And finally, today is my last day hosting the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm going to be heading up to Boston to co-host a new expanded version of the public radio news magazine Here and Now. I first want to say thanks to the amazing team here at Marketplace, especially my incredibly talented producers Justin Ho and Sean Bowditch. Thanks also to Lina Anwar, Katie Long, and Ethan Lindsay. I want to thank Radha Bead for giving me the chance to host this show, and to Deb Clark for giving me the freedom to do it my way. I want to thank J.J. Yor, who brought me here 6 years ago and always believed in me. But mostly I want to thank you for listening, for caring about business news, and for appreciating Marketplace's effort to make it interesting and relevant. The good news is that your new host, starting Monday, will be the one and only David Brancaccio, and I'm honored to hand this job over to him. You can always find me on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.